He's ruthless and a killer, yet he used a 24. And the gun is on. 1 in 19 more.
Hello. Hi. Welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, episode 342. Post-nuclear podcast. How are you? You're looking well as usual. Got quite the show scheduled for you today. First off, I'd like to start by giving a shout out to the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. Links below in the descriptions, what have you. To check it out, if you like the show, consider supporting at some level. I'm trying something different with the light. I have it flipped instead of directly on me. I thought maybe easier on my eyes, or maybe it would make the green screen, the chroma key a tad easier. I don't know. We're trying things. How are you? I feel like I should start by opening this episode for apologizing for last episode. There wasn't an episode. I should say last week, not the last episode. I'm apologizing for last week. I have a monthly wine and cheese party, which I've talked about before, where, you know, we try different wines and different cheeses, and we sit around and listen to music and just hang out and play cards. It's nothing crazy. But I woke up, that was a Saturday, I woke up Sunday morning with a migraine, and I don't usually get headaches. I woke up with a migraine so severe that I couldn't do anything for days. I went to work and just struggled through it. I wasn't sleeping, I was just waking up in the middle of the night with a pounding headache. I had to sit next to someone at work because they had to move a bunch of people around next to a person who just didn't shut the f*** up, which is the worst thing ever. He's a nice enough guy. I don't under... Like, he's getting engaged and he wouldn't shut up about his fiance. And it was one of those things where I had to be like, she's either as insufferable as you or you don't talk when you're around her. Because if this is how you are, like, around her... And then he's talking about having kids, and I'm like, you can't breed. I'm like, you can't do that. You can't fucking... So, I had this headache. I wound up going to the doctor. They gave me a shot in the ass, which is called a rooster, which I wasn't aware of. But, yeah, you know, it was uncomfortable. She was younger than I and a woman. So, it was just weird that a woman who was younger than I wanted to give me a shot in the ass. And she's like grabbing my butt. And I was like, can I? I was like, I feel bad about this. I was like, may I take my belt off? Are you comfortable with that? And she's like, I have to shoot you in the ass. You have to take your pants off or at least put them down a little bit. So I got a shot and whatever. And I've been feeling better. I've been drinking a lot of water, been working out, you know, doing what I usually do. But we're here. I just wanted to say sorry. I didn't even do any of the other editing that I've been working on. If you follow the YouTube channel, you might have seen that there's been a bunch of uploads of lore stuff. I didn't even have a chance to do that because of the pounding in my skull. That being said, after I had gotten the shot, that was on this past Friday, so when this comes out, it'll be over a week since I've had it. After I had gotten that shot Sunday, I went and I saw a Looney Tunes movie, The Day the Earth Blew Up. Go see that film. For various reasons. One, Warner Brothers doesn't know what they're doing with their properties anymore, and it makes me really, really scared about all the new Batman movies that are going to be coming out. Well, the Robert Pattinson one, that's not coming out until 27, but still, it makes me worried for it. The new Looney Tunes movie, also, they got rid of the Batwoman movie that was finished. They got rid of something else that I don't remember, and Coyote versus Acme, which is supposed to be about Wile E. Coyote suing Acme for having faulty products. And Bill Hader said it was one of the funniest things he'd ever been in, and it's a genuinely hilarious script. Between Batwoman, Coyote versus Acme, and one other movie Warner Brothers got, I know for at least one of them they got a $30 million tax write-off. So they scrapped movies, and I'm hoping that if they, if Looney Tunes does well enough, if The Day the Earth Blew Up does well enough, they'll just release it, or someone will be like, here, obviously people want it, here it is, it was on my flash drive, here it is for free. Also, it's the first time a Looney Tunes movie has ever been in theaters. It's a theatrical, fully 2D animated Looney Tunes movie. So not, you know, with Michael Jordan or LeBron James or Brendan Fraser. It's a real-ass cartoon. It's 2D. And also, it's 2D. I feel like Shrek came out in 2001, and then you never saw, or you saw a tapering of CGI animated films, and then it eventually hit a point, I blame Steve Jobs, but you eventually hit a point where, like 2005, there was no, 2006, 2007, 2008, there was no 2D movies coming out any longer, And if this comes out and does well, I could see 2D animation in the theater again. It's a beautifully animated film. It's really funny. There's a point that I love where, like, Daffy Duck is talking to somebody, and he's like, hopefully the plot doesn't twist. And then in big letters, it just says foreshadowing. Beautiful. My sense of humor to a T. Go see that movie. Just seriously, like, it's a good date movie. It's an hour and a half long. It's a linear movie. It's not like it starts at the end and then it picks up in the middle and then it shows you the end again, but then it flashes back. Pulp Fiction came out and ruined timelines. I love Pulp Fiction. I love all of Tarantino's movies. Not every movie has to mess with the time. It doesn't. It just doesn't have to. You don't have to fiddle with time. Just here's point A, here's point B. If there is a problem brought up in that movie, it is solved by the end of the movie. It's such a good film. And it respects your time because it's an hour and a half long and not 2 hours and 51 minutes or some dumb stuff. I'm going to go see Mickey 17 this weekend. It's probably a 4-hour movie. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit about Fallout 76 in the third segment, so I'm going to save that for last. Other than that, you know, make sure your health is well. Make sure your health is well. That sounds silly. Make sure you're in good health. Make sure you're in high spirits. Yes, quite, indubitably. Lieutenant. Just make sure you're good. Get a shot in the ass if you need to get a shot in the ass. Watch a Looney Tunes movie if you gotta watch a Looney Tunes movie. Have your friends over. Eat cheese. Drink wine. If you're one to drink. I love you. Let's get on with the show. Hey, all right. So I want to get into this week's lore. Before I can get into this week's lore, I have to talk about the Patreon. Because of the Patreon, the show continues to grow and get bigger and better. And because of it, I can do a bunch of new fun things. There's some equipment that I'm using currently that was purchased recently because of the Patreon. I love you guys. I thank you guys. It's been a big help throughout everything. And on screen, I never know where to stand anymore. On screen right now should be a list of names of people who support. Check it out if you get a moment. You don't even have to really subscribe to the Patreon. I appreciate if you do, but just showing this to a friend is a massive, massive help. You know, putting this somewhere on Reddit is a huge help. But if you'd like to support monetarily and even have the chance to be in one of these episodes live, be in the audience to listen to these episodes live, check out the Patreon. Bunch of different tiers, bunch of different perks. Some people that are on screen that I have to thank. Starting at the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Willie DeWitt. Thank you to Willie DeWitt. After Willie DeWitt, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. After Captain Lennox, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. And after Danish Hound Dog, last but certainly not least in these fine folks, these great names you see before you or hear before you, I have to thank Brotherhood Outcast. Thank you again to Brotherhood Outcast. Like I said, because of you guys, the show continues to trudge on, to march forward into tomorrow and the future. And I couldn't do it without you. I love you guys. Thank you very much. Enjoy the show. So like I was saying at the beginning of the hour, I had a headache so colossal, I was afraid I was going to hurt myself. Not like I was going to do something silly, just like, you know, I thought I was going to not be able to drive or, like, faint because I couldn't sleep. And because of it, I went on to the Patreon and I was like, look, I need something. I can't think of anything. What do you guys want to hear? Tell me what you want to hear and I will do that. And one of the comments I got was from Willie DeWitt. So this week's lore comes to you from Willie DeWitt. If you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever from the Fallout series, I mean anything, the games, the show, the board games, anything, check out the Patreon from the $1 tier to the $10 tier. Every single week, your voice is heard, whether I ask a question about what you want to hear or I post a poll. Your voice becomes instrumental in picking the next week's lore. And this week's lore, by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, I bring to you a Fallout classic. One of the oldest characters in the franchise, someone you and I love dearly, Harold, from the entire Fallout series. So Harold is a character that you get to meet in several different Fallout games. He's one of the oldest characters you can encounter. He's born in the year 2072, 5 years old he is when the bombs drop, and he gets put into Vault 92. Now, it's never stated exactly that he's put into Vault 92, but it's in the Fallout Bible. And in the Fallout Bible, Vault 29, is no one of that vault is over the age of 15. By 2090, Harold leaves his vault, and for the next 12 years, him and his friend Richard Gray being a doctor who Harold called a brilliant philosopher, who would later go on to be the master of the mutants, became caravanners, and by 2096, Harold became a caravan boss. Now, according to the Fallout Bible, I get all of my lore, all of my references off of the Fallout Wiki. That's fallout.fandom.com, the Wikipedia, if you will. This is a direct quote from the Fallout Bible that is referenced on the Fallout Wiki. May 22nd, 2102. Increasing mutant attacks on Harold's caravan cause Harold to get so pissed, he finances one of the first adventuring parties, ellipses, to find out where those dag-nab mutants are coming from. So by 2102, mutants are already starting to attack caravans, and they're coming from the north. And at this point, nobody knows where they're coming from. No one really understands who's behind the mutants. And at this point, as far as we know, they're random. Richard Gray is not he's not the master yet. This will happen in a few more years. So there's no way to mass produce these mutants. They're just coming from the north. And like I said, they put together a group and they adventure north, and it leads them to the Mariposa military base. On June 23rd, they begin to enter the base. Now, they left March 22nd, and by June 23rd, they get there. The simple act of just getting to the Mariposa military base, and mind you, they didn't know what they were looking for. They were just like, where are the mutants coming from? They found the Mariposa military base. Just the simple act of getting there made them lose a majority. They had a majority of the people that were adventuring with them gone. They had died for whatever reason. There was only four people at the end of it. Harold, the man I'm speaking about currently, Richard Gray, another man I'm speaking about currently, who will slowly turn into the master over time, Francine, who died by a security robot on the way in, and Mark, who got so injured that they told him to go back to the surface and stop delving into the military base with them. He was never heard or seen from again. Nobody knows what happened to him. He was probably eaten to death by mutants, or he was shredded into little tiny bits. But no one ever hears from Mark ever again. Now, they're in the military base. Harold and Richard Gray are both inside of the military base, and they don't exactly know what they're looking for, but as they get deeper, there's more and more mutants and atrocities that they can find, and eventually they hit the central room, the core of the room, with the vats of FEV, the vats of goo, the special fun sauce that makes everything... You know, the special fun sauce that makes everybody turn into a hulking behemoth. And when they're in there, a robotic crane arm slams into the two of them. It throws Richard Gray into a vat of FEV, and it throws Harold askew. It's never said exactly what happens to him. I believe one of the writers of this said that Harold wasn't in the vat, but got hit by some FEV. So it's not, you know, he wasn't in it, but he was adjacent. He got affected by it. And if you've played these games, you know what happens to Harold. But when you meet him in 2161 in the hub, he has a bit of tree growing out of his head. June 27th of 2102. This is 4 days later. Somehow Harold found his way outside of the Mariposa military base and was discovered by traitors who took him back to the hub. Now, in this trip back to the hub, he thought he was going to see his friend Mark again. And like I said, no one ever saw Mark again. Even by this time when they found him, his mutations had started. And because of his mutations, he lost all of his employees, his clients, and all of his friends in the hub. At this point, he looks like a mixture between a mutant and a ghoul with a plant growing out of his head. And he moved to Old Town because of how distraught he was from society. He was pretty much removed from society as a whole. Both Harold and Richard Gray thought the other one to be dead. Harold never went to go look for him because he assumed he was dead. And if you find Richard Gray's audio log that he says, he must have been killed or he would have tried to help me. He genuinely looked at Harold as a friend. He cared about him, and he was broken. He was heartbroken when his friend did not come back to help him. And I can only imagine some of that anger led into the master and the what became the Unity, because he's like, well, everyone left me behind, so why would I stick around for anybody else? Now, by time the player character will ever have the opportunity to meet Harold, it's the year 2161, and in 2161, he is now living in Old Town, where a part of the hub where all of the poors go. The homeless, the destitute, the downtrodden, the huddled masses all head towards Old Town. His love for the hub keeps him there, and he's one of, if not the oldest people in the hub, but also one of the oldest people just around. By 2161, he's 89 years old. Now, because he has no friends, he has nobody around him, he has no real use, I guess, which is awful to say, but he has just kind of himself. He is just a resource of information. He's just a wealth of knowledge, but it's not even the best wealth of knowledge. It's just a guy who's been around for a long time and wants to talk. Decker, who's the underground crime boss of the hub, will reference him for information, but even he says he's had better. Amongst hubbers, other than being known as someone who had knowledge about stuff, he was also known to be one of the only people in existence, as far as the other hubbers knew, that had seen a Deathclaw and lived to tell the tale. Now, by 2238, he had left the hub. Eventually, he got to a point where he's like, I can't be here much longer. He leaves the hub. And he gets to a town called Gecko. And what's awesome about Gecko is that it has a nuclear reactor. And a bunch of ghouls live there and work on the reactor, because they're not going to be affected by the radiation. Now, he becomes the foreman of the nuclear reactor because of him helping out these other ghouls. And because of this, becoming the foreman, he brokers a deal with Broken Hills, a uranium mine community, and they trade uranium for Gecko's reactor. Now, he's not the brightest fella, especially when it comes to being the foreman. One of the things that he apparently has done is he wanted to shut down the main cooling valve because the coolant levels were way too high, and if done, it would have caused a meltdown for the reactor. The reactor also has a crack in it, and it's leaking into the ground, and that's affecting Vault City, which is nearby. And Vault City doesn't like ghouls. They're very anti-ghoul. They're anti-anything. They're anti-anything that isn't a human being. Vault City also probably has a spare reactor or the parts to fix it or what have you, but because they shoot ghouls on site, the people of Vault City, they can't get near it. None of the people from Gecko can get anywhere near it to even offer a trade. And Harold is aware that if he can't make a deal work between Gecko and Vault City, then Vault City is most likely going to invade and wipe out all of Gecko. And Harold has two people that help him out in Gecko, a fella by the name of Lenny, who's a doctor and a paperwork expert, and a fella named Gordon, who's essentially the town's economist. He looks at the income and the money and everything else of Gecko and tells Harold about it, but Harold doesn't listen, and Gordon's more of a greedy fella, so he's always like, take advantage of him. Harold, looking at the data of the economics of the town, is being advised by Gordon to show Vault City that they need each other, but Harold's like, if we show them that we need them, they're going to cut off our supply from Vault City and then go straight to Broken Hills, and then once Broken, they go directly to Broken Hills, we'll just become a slave camp powering Vault City because they'll take whatever they need because they'll set supply and demand, essentially, in that instance. All the while, Gordon is trying to usurp Harold's spot as foreman of the reactor. Depending on how you end Fallout 2, Harold goes one of a few different ways, but if he survives in the ending, which becomes canon, you can find him in the Capital Wasteland. And when you find him in the Capital Wasteland, he has a community. And I think it's a really nice wrapping up. When you first meet him, you see that he's lost his entire community. By Fallout 2, he has a bit of community, but it's kind of in shambles. And by Fallout 3, he has community, and he doesn't want it. You don't know what you got till it's gone, and once you have something, you realize you didn't want it in the first place. And that's kind of Harold's case. Also, by this time, the tree mutation that was coming out of his head, Harold named it Bob. Now, after the defeat of the Enclave in 2241, Harold moves. Once again, he does what he knows best, and he starts to wander, and eventually he makes his way to the East Coast, and he gets to north of the Capital Wasteland. Getting close to Pennsylvania, actually, now that I think about it. And while he's there, he rests, and the tree has grown more and more out of him, and he's just tired. He's overtaken by Bob, the tree that's growing out of him, and he's beginning to sprout fruit as well. And he's just tired, and he doesn't want to move on any longer. And he sits down just to rest. And by the time he's done resting, when he goes to get up, he realizes that Bob has rooted him into the ground, and he's stuck there. And the biggest reason why he survived is because of photosynthesis. Somehow this man who was a man is now a tree and is surviving through photosynthesis. Some wanderer came upon him and renamed themselves Birch and saw what was in front of them as some sort of a holy being, some sort of a miracle that he witnessed in front of him. This fella later created the group of the Tree Minders, which you can meet in Fallout 3, and it's a group of people that live in a beautifully flora and fauna area. I always pictured Oasis of course, the Tree Minders and Birch, but I always picture them to be surrounded by, like, squirrels, healthy squirrels, you know, skunk, raccoons, opossums, just critters, you know, worms, beetles, butterflies, caterpillars, moths, just shit that is now irradiated and or gone. I just always pictured, like, I pictured a deer. Like, I pictured, like, maybe there's, like, six deer that are there because they've just reversed mutation. Because these people seem to just have, they found an oasis. They found a slice of what the old world looked like. And I always wish that there was a way to go to the Brotherhood after Project Purity and be like, there's a tree up north who might be able to bring back vegetation. And you can't. But I like to believe that if Harold is kept alive, spoiler alert for the end of the quest, but if Harold is kept alive in some capacity, it could spread out, but he's so beaten and just wants to die. The Tree Minders begin to care for Bob and by extension Harold, but really just the tree. They wind up drinking this hallucinogenic sap that they can give to people, and they'll wind up giving to the Lone Wanderer once he gets there, but I'm getting ahead of myself. They begin to care for the tree because of the foliage and how lush it is becoming. And because he's rooted, Bob, Harold, Herbert, everybody is just kind of rooted. He calls the tree Herbert to piss him off. Because he's rooted in there, it's started to push his internal organs into the ground. To Harold, the sap does nothing. The hallucinogenic sap that his seeds produce, it means nothing, but they take it as a cleansing ritual to bring people into the Tree Minders. The Tree Minders are so incredibly closed off as a society because they don't want anyone to hurt the tree. They don't want anyone to hurt Bob. But Harold is slowly dying, and he's tired of being alive. Once the Lone Wanderer gets there and takes the hallucinogenic sap and then talks to Harold about it, he asks if he could kill him, if the Lone Wanderer can kill Harold. He's tired of being alive. There's a bunch of different ways to do it. You could do it humanely. You could do it in a way where the tree continues to grow and Harold dies. You could just launch a fat man at him, or you could just hit him with a flamethrower. You can talk to the Tree Miners. You can talk to everybody there. But Harold's story pretty much ends right there in the Capital Wasteland. This is a man who's seen a lot happen. And depending on when you activate his quest, he might see it all, really. Up until Fallout 4, he's seen all of it. And he's just such a figure in the game. Like, he's one of the first things I think of when I think of the Fallout games, especially because he's like dog meat to me in a weird way, because he's been in every single game. Like I said, when you do the quest, you could just walk up and just shoot him a couple times, or you could burn him, you could shoot fat mans at him. You could also just go attack his heart. There's a couple different things you could do. You could destroy him outright and take it from the Tree Minder so they never know true happiness. There's a bunch of different outcomes with this quest, and it's such an interesting quest to me because I feel like it's almost a symbolic Johnny Klebitz at the midpoint, maybe the quarter point of GTA 5 where Trevor kills him. Because I always thought that was supposed to be, and maybe I'm looking too deep into this, GTA 5 stomping out GTA 4 because of all the legal troubles and BS. Like, the voice actor who played Nico can't stand Rockstar. And I thought that was a way to be like, the past is now behind us. Like, we're stomping it out. It's gone. We don't have to think about that. And maybe they'll do something like that in GTA 6. But I always thought of this as kind of Bethesda's way of saying, we've put the old games to bed, and from here on out, it's our ride. It's our thing that we're going to be taking care of. Now, he also shows up in Fallout Brotherhood of Steel, but he's missing an arm in that one. I don't know. It's not canon. A lot of that game isn't canon, but it's there. He has a Magic the Gathering card as well. Fallout Shelter Online, he shows up in. He's a prominent figure in the game outside of just the stuff that we have. In Brotherhood of Steel, he shows up in a town called Los, the city of Los, the city of the. Harold appears in more games than any other character. Other characters appearing in multiple main series titles include Tandy, Marcus, Madison Lee, MacReady, and Arthur Maxon. That's a quote directly from the Fallout Wiki that I think is awesome. I think it's great. Like I said, he's such an important character in my mind. He's the face of the old mixing with the new. He's what you get when you have the new ideas and the old ideas. And I know a lot of people will shit on Fallout 3, and I love Fallout 3 personally, as you probably know if you've watched my show before. But I love how Harold feels when you meet him, and how I don't know, even when I didn't know much about Fallout 1 and 2, I felt like there was something here that I was missing that was important, that was, we were laying an idea to rest. And who knows, maybe if we ever get to the Northeast again, we'll find a small pocket, like if they do a game in Pennsylvania, maybe we'll find in southern West Pennsylvania, we'll find a little pocket of trees and a bunch of like faces that are just Harold or Herbert at that point, or Bob at that point. Who knows? Fun fact before we get out of the lore, the inspiration between calling the tree Bob and Herbert comes from A Boy and His Dog, where he will call the dog meat instead of blood. Don Johnson's character will call the dog meat instead of blood, which dog meat itself is a reference from A Boy and His Dog to the games itself, but that comes from that. If you've enjoyed that, I hope you have. My name has been Vince. This has been The Lore. Why am I ending it like I'm ending the podcast? That has been this week's lore. I hope you guys have enjoyed. Love you. So, real quick, I want to talk about the new ghoul update that's come to Fallout 76. I have not had a chance to play it yet, but I've seen a lot of people cosplaying, and I've seen a lot of people on Twitter showing their characters. And I'm just excited that everyone is excited about it. I've wanted to play as a ghoul for God knows how long, and I'm so excited that it's a part of the game at this point, in a somewhat canon way. Even if a lot of Fallout 76 turns out to not be canon, I think it's awesome that there is a way in a game to be able to play as a ghoul. And even if it sets a precedent for being able to play ghoul, I have a feeling when Fallout 5 comes out, a lot of people are going to be like, why can't I play as a ghoul if it's not in the game? Because a lot of people's starting point was 76, and I feel like because of 76, they then got into 4, and then probably beat 4, and then went right back to 76, and now if they have the option to ghoulify, I wouldn't be surprised if Fallout 5 doesn't have the option to ghoulify, and then people are upset about that. I'm going to be upset about that, but I hope this is a beta test for the rest of the series. If you're playing it, please leave a comment below. I would love to know what your character is doing, what the character's backstory is, how they ghoulified, why they ghoulified, if they wanted to ghoulify, if their friends or factions that you were friendly with stopped talking to you, and what that was like. I plan on doing this. Kyle and I were trying to set some time aside to be able to play 76 together this year to hit ghoul level. It's just those first 20 levels, man. Those first 10, 15, 20 levels are so hard to get through. We've tried it a couple of different times. I don't really understand the way matchmaking works. I don't really understand the way I can get in a game and do a quest with somebody, but I'm not doing the quest with somebody. But it also might be a low-level thing. I don't know. Please, seriously, leave a comment below, because I'd really, really like to talk to you about it. I'd like to hear something about it. I enjoy the fact that we finally get to play as ghouls, and I'm so excited to hear what your stories are. If you've enjoyed this episode, my name has been Vince. The intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers. It's called Feather Duster. You can get all of his free music over at silvermansounds.com/free-music. And again, my song is called Feather Duster that I use. This has been Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast, episode 341. Thank you for being here. I love you. There's links in the description to the Discord, the Patreon. Thank you to the Patreon. I love you. The Redbubble, if you want to get a little bit of merch. There's also a link to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, Kyle's Twitter. Don't know where I am on Twitter. Join the Discord. I love you guys. Be good to one another. I hope your tummies are not feeling fucky. I'll see you guys next week, if I don't get another crazy migraine. Love you, and I'll be seeing you soon.
Atomic Radio Hour. Ghoulman Entertainment Production.